From the Woodshed, a casual conversation with Chase Morrill and Ryan Eldridge from Kennebec Cabin Company, the team that inspired the hit show Maine Cabin Masters. From the Woodshed is brought to you by Nelma. See the stamp, trust the quality. By Hero Media Arts, connecting small business with new customers. And by Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. Now, from the Woodshed Studios at KCC headquarters in Manchester, Maine, it's Chase and Ryan.
From the Woodshed, I'm Chase Morrill. With me as always, Maggie Morrill.
Hi.
Ryan Eldridge is not here today, so filling in is Jake Severance.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Our guests today are David Cash and Jordan Alves from the EPA. You can find us at KennebecCabinCompany.com, MaineCabinMasters.com, our Facebook, Instagram, and now TikTok. You can check us out at our YouTube channel, Kennebec Cabin Company, our online store, shop.kennebeccabincompany.com. We always want to thank our sponsors, Hammond Lumber Company, the official material building supplier of Kennebec Cabin Company, Nelma, Northeast Lumber Manufacturing Association, Hero Media Network, and Kennebec Savings Bank.
Yes, they're all great sponsors.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, Jake.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan and Ashley are on a road trip to a wedding for the weekend.
Yeah, they needed a break, I feel like, so this is good.
Yeah, and so we needed a co-host and...
Happy to fill in.
We figured, you know, with you are our main painter.
If anyone came across lead, it probably would have been me. I don't think I have, though.
You have not. I am, you know, I'm EPA certified, so I make sure every job safe is safe.
Yeah, and I trust that. Yeah, I feel like in that new vacuum you got is amazing.
Yeah.
And that thing is the bomb. And
yeah,
I feel like we haven't come across it. A lot of the camps that we're working with are even older than when lead was probably used, I feel like, don't you?
Yeah, some of the camps we're working on are, you know, 1800, late 1800s.
Late 1800s.
But they've also gone through so many different phases and renovations.
Right.
That it's hard to kind of tell and judge. So, you know, we always test. We always make sure we're following EPA guidelines.
Yeah, and I feel like we take it serious and rightfully so. I mean, we'll find out later. But
yeah,
we know lead is not a good thing to
Yeah, have. And, you know, recently, I mean, it's out there in the public. We did get in trouble with EPA.
Yes.
So, you know, I've gone through all this training and certification to make sure we're doing things properly. But yeah.
Well,
so you've been with Kennebec Cabin Company, Kennebec Property Services, Maine Cabin Masters for 3 years now?
3 years in August. It will be 3 years.
Gotcha.
So,
but that is not your first. I mean, you've been friends with.
I've been friends with Ryan since 98. We met at a fish show and we've been friends since then.
You met at a fish show?
We met at a fish show and then we actually got introduced to each other at Farmington.
Okay. So that's, I thought you guys met at Farmington.
But we were meant to be together. So we met before we knew that we had our circles kind of intersect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But yeah. And I'll tell you, I've known Ryan forever and not till I started working here did I realize that there was this side of Eldridge that, I mean, he is a machine. And, you know, I was used to the side where you're going to a festival.
Oh, sure. The festival
and,
side of
it. Yeah. And I lived with them for the first year. And, I mean, he runs a tight ship there. And Ash, you know, I've gotten to know, obviously, since Ryan and her started dating and then got married.
Yeah.
She is, you know, she's a great addition to him. Obviously, they're wonderful, but she, you know, she has more of that, you know, she's more laid back at times than Rye can be, but they're both brilliant. And everyone that we work with, I think that's why, I mean, it's by far the best job I've had. It doesn't feel like one at times. It feels like you're, you know, you're just
playing around on a TV show.
That's not necessarily true. No. I mean, we all work very hard.
Because that is true.
Some days it is that way, yes. Some days you try and look busy because they don't always want you to do the job because they want to catch it on film. So, you know, you wait. But
And, I mean, you've got the you're the painter.
That's
you're going in. You're trying to... I mean, you've got one of the more difficult positions, I think, in the company as far as being able to get in and have the time you need in the spaces.
I do think it seemed daunting at first, but now that, you know, I'm a couple years into it. Working with you and Ash on the colors and figuring everything out and the timing of it and knowing now I can look at a camp and know how long it's going to take.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the brand new sprayer you bought me, I mean, it's brilliant. That thing cranks. And it's just.
And I think our relationship with Benjamin Moore has also helped.
Yes.
Immensely.
We didn't mention them in the sponsors. Maybe they're not, but they've helped out a lot. And yeah. And their product is the best.
In fact, I think Ashley and Ryan are stopping by their.
I heard that.
Developments in their headquarters.
In Connecticut or?
Down.
Delaware. Yes. Which, Benjamin Moore has been incredible. And I think knowing that we're putting that kind of product on these camps is good because we know it's going to stand the test of time. Yep. So,
and also, I wanted to make sure that you got your, everybody knows Ryan's a huge fish fan.
Yeah.
But you also have your widespread.
I love widespread. Yeah, I love widespread panic. And that's always been a thing between us.
This is your chance to get the word out.
I think that the music does the talking for itself personally, but Ryan he loves all music.
He does.
Or actually he loves a handful of music and he listens to those. He doesn't listen to anything else really, but, and he's got an open mind. I think Fish for him was Panic for me. I grew up in Nashville and I went to shows all the time because they were close. And he went to Fish and I like Fish. I just, Panic for me is more of a, there's more heart in their music. I don't feel that with Fish, but I'm sure he would say the same thing with Fish.
Right.
You love Ween. I don't get that. Where do you sit on Ween, Maggie?
No, thanks.
Okay, cool. What about Panic? Have you listened to them?
I never heard of it until I'll make you just mentioned
playlist.
It.
I'll make you a playlist.
Now, but you mentioned Harry Styles, and you've got two young girls.
I do.
Are they Harry Styles fans? Are they widespread fans?
Not at all, no. No, they do not like Panic. And that's okay.
Of course.
Now, they love, Olivia Rodrigo, and then the other girl that Rodrigo had the argument with over the guy.
Sabrina Carpenter.
So, yes, Carpenter.
I've never heard that name before.
Well, she's playing soon, so you might hear the name because they want tickets to that. And, they like Taylor Swift, too. They love Swift, and I like Taylor Swift. I think she's great for women. And I wish they would listen to Panic, but you know what? I tell them, you see, 10 years from now, you'll be listening to Billy Strings and Widespread Panic. And, I feel like that will happen. But
or it won't, and it's all right.
It's all right, yeah. I have plenty of time to listen on my own. But I like Harry Styles, and I know you went and saw Harry Styles.
I did not. Maggie, Sarah took the kiddos.
Oh, Sarah.
I've gone twice. Wow. Twice now, yeah.
Yep. So I saw that he just stole the girl from Comedian. Do you know?
He didn't steal anyone. He didn't steal anyone.
And they start, okay. Well,
they've since broken up anyways.
No, this was a different quick thing.
It was like
Jake knows.
It was, what is her name?
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah.
She didn't steal anyone. She was broken. She was like long broken up with this guy.
For 2 days though. That's not, or something, right?
You know, power to her.
It's in the limelight. Time moves quick, but Harry Styles, he's cool. Yeah, I don't know about the rest of the No Direction.
One Direction.
No Direction. All right.
So, guys, we're going to take a short break and, we'll see everybody after the video. What do you think?
Sounds good. Nice job.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Ashley Morrill. I am the co-owner of Kennebec Cabin Company, home of the Maine Cabin Masters. We really wanted to be able to connect with our fan base, and we wanted to find a space where we could go and feature all of the artists and craftsmen that I discover through the show. If you see something maybe in one of the episodes of Maine Cabin Masters, you can come into the store and whoop, there it is. We've got a little bit of everything for everybody, and then some. This is our lighting section. You have these beautiful handmade lampshades. I think every camp needs a hammock. I say that a lot. I think I say it on every episode, that every camp needs a hammock. So when you first walk in, one of the first things you might recognize is the canoe bookshelf. One of the first projects that Chase and I built together. The little onesies, love those. Those are my favorite, might be my favorite item. The beautiful art by Helene Farrar. She actually is our neighbor next door. We're getting new pieces in weekly. Fastest items to always go are these bat boxes. They can house up to 100 bats, but you probably already knew that if you watched the show. We've got all the pictures of all the cabins that we've done hanging on the walls. We have all the artists and craftsmen that I've worked with throughout the shop. You just really feel like you are, you know, right here with us. So come on in and visit us. We are at 915 Western Ave in beautiful Manchester, Maine. Or you can also find us online at kennebeckcabincompany.com. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, and we are back with our guests, David Cash and Jordan Alves from the EPA. David Cash is the regional administrator for the EPA, and Jordan Alves is a lead inspector. Thank you both for joining us today. One is on Zoom, one is in person, so best of both worlds. David, we'll just start briefly chatting with you. Why is EPA concerned with lead exposure?
Well, lead continues to be a major concern for EPA. In fact, it's a concern, you know, for families, and especially in New England, where we have older housing stock in other parts of the country. So we find lead in paint and paint dust. We find it in old lead pipes that bring water into homes. And it can persist to be a problem in Maine and New England and many other older cities where children continue to test. When we do blood tests on children, they continue to test a small percentage, but a concerning percentage continue to test positive. So this can lead to neurological problems, behavioral concerns, learning challenges, and even going out into the future in terms of employment problems in the future as well. It's a big economic burden as well as a health concern. So this is something that EPA has worked with states and cities and towns and with the private sector to try to figure out how to reduce and ultimately eliminate the exposure of kids to lead, no matter where it's coming from.
Gotcha. Now, yeah, the EPA does talk a lot about lead exposure for kids. Can you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Yeah, sure. So you think about, and I can't help but think about my kids when I moved into my house. My house is an 1840s house. We found that lead was in the paint on the inside and on the outside. Our kids were toddlers at the time. So what do kids do when they're toddlers? They crawl on the floor. They pick up things. They put them in their mouths. And it's a particularly vulnerable time for kids because if they're ingesting lead at that time in their lives, it has repercussions throughout their lives. And we were really concerned when we moved here. And thank goodness there were rules like there are. They've gotten better, but there were rules. So when a painting company came to our house, they were masked up. They put plastic around the outside of our house to make sure it wouldn't get into our soil because we knew our kids would be crawling in the soil. We wanted to plant vegetables outside, all of that kind of stuff. And we just wanted to eliminate the possible exposure that they might have to lead. And that's the biggest concern is kids at that age, when their brains are developing, their nervous systems are developing, lead can be really damaging. And again, kids are also at the biggest risk because they're the ones crawling around, putting their hands in their mouth, putting stuff in their mouth that they shouldn't be. And so that's, you know, we're trying to address that because that's where they're most vulnerable and that's where they can pick up lead most easily.
So David, I owned a three family years ago in Boston. And when we would rent it, we would need to hand out a pamphlet explaining the issues with lead and what to look for. Now, I believe that everything had been painted over enough that it was probably not an issue, but that was the only thing we had to do. Now, has that changed? Or do you need to give a tenant like a synopsis of what's in the house and what the potential threats are with the window trim and the apron?
Yeah. So when you get to talking to Jordan, who's the inspector, so he knows the specifics, the ins and outs.
Perfect.
I can speak as it both as a the kind of regional administrator upper level, but I know as a parent, I wanted to make sure that the company that came in to paint the inside of my house, they knew what the rules were. They knew where to take care. And I felt comfortable by that. When our company came in, they explained some of the things. So I slept better at night because I knew my kids were going to be protected. But the details, Jordan would definitely be able to help with that.
Yeah, that's great. So what is the EPA doing to reduce lead exposure?
So there are a couple of things. There are the requirements for renovation, painting, that have to be filed. That's critically important. That's the kind of things that we're talking about, the renovation, repair, and painting rule. Again, Jordan knows the details of that. But there are a whole array of other things that we're doing as well. One of them is part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, billions, with a B, billions of dollars nationwide are going to cities and towns to assist on the removal of lead pipes, which again, in New England and the older cities throughout the country, but in New England in particular, lead was used commonly to bring water from the main pipes into the houses. And our goal, the Biden administration's goal, is to remove all of those lead service lines, are called service lines, that go from the main to the house in 10 years. And wow. That will make a big difference. Because again, that's a place, I talk about being a parent, when you open up your tap to give your kid a glass of water, you don't have to worry about what's in there.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I was at one of these replacements. I went to a site visit where a local contractor had come and was working with the city to replace these pipes. And I watched when the mom was holding her toddler looking out the window. Now, I'm sure the toddler was way more interested in the backhoe, but I knew that what she was thinking was, I'm not going to have to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to have to worry about giving my kid a glass of water, or that he's going to have behavioral problems in school because of lead, or that he'll have a future of nervous system problems, anything like that. And that's, that's the goal. There are these two big areas: lead that derives from paint, when we're talking about residential areas, lead that derives from paint that then chips or is dusted and then ends up in the soil, and then lead that comes from lead pipes. So we have a multi-pronged approach at the EPA to address these issues.
Is lead the number one? I mean, you guys deal with a lot of stuff. Probably in Boston, you have asbestos siding, and you have is lead the number one issue at the moment? Like, are probably actually there's probably giant things that you deal with, but lead is
they're
important.
They're giant
in cities.
Issues, but one of the ways we go about it is thinking about what's the biggest risk in what particular area. So like I said, we're focusing on these water systems that are in cities and towns that we know have old pipes. We're focusing on communities that we know have old housing stock. I mean, Maine has like 56% of its housing stock was constructed prior to 1980.
Right.
It's like the eighth oldest housing stock, right? So we're going to be worried. We know that paint's going to be on those houses. We know that in New England, we know that in places around the Chicago area, et cetera. Those are the New York, those are the places. So we'll focus our number one concern in some of these communities will definitely be lead. So that again is another reason why, you ask, what's our number one? In those communities, lead may be the number one concern.
It was used for everything back in the day. I mean, it was everywhere. Oh. It's crazy.
It
was in everything. Now, these days, is there an application where lead is used where it's not going to be harmful to us, but it's still used, or is it not used for anything anymore? Are we just trying to get rid of it completely?
Well, I will say one area that EPA is now taking a look, it's still used in some. And Jordan, you could speak to this as well. It's still used in some aircraft fuel. And so there is a concern, particularly around airports. I believe it's used, I don't want to misspeak, but I know it's in some aircraft fuel. And so there's a concern taking a look at it. And, you know, one of the ways that we look at these kind of issues is to say, well, what's the, you know, obviously there's a cost to doing cleaning up. A painting contractor will have to spend extra money on training, on preparation, right, on equipment. And we want to be really certain that those kind of investments that the private sector makes, that a homeowner is going to have to make, right, because that's going to be passed through, is going to have the big benefits.
Right.
So I can, if I go back to myself, if I think about that the company I hired paid extra to make sure lead was free, and therefore I paid them extra, man, what I know that I'm not paying, because I'm not going to pay medical bills for my kids, I'm not going to, you know, they're not going to be educational services or problems like that, is a big benefit. And, you know, for example, lead exposure cognitive impairments in kids costs almost $60 billion a year in lost U.S. economic productivity. And so anytime we kind of we take very seriously our role as regulators, because we know when we regulate, it has an impact on the private sector. And we want to make sure that when we regulate, we do it such that we get the benefits in health, in costs, in peace of mind that people should have when they move into a house, when their house is painted, when they turn on the tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Huge. Yeah. Well, thank you for, you know, doing what you're doing. And yeah, is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on to Jordan?
No, I don't. I just want to reiterate the point that that the impacts and the distribution of this concern are not even throughout our society. They hit, they hit, as so many of these things do, hit disadvantaged communities, vulnerable communities. And I think that we need to do an extra special job to make sure that we relieve those burdens and we, protect those communities as best we can at this time.
And I have a question that's maybe off topic, but more about the EPA. So would you say that you're not like, or with every, you know, when the office changes leaders, do things change with the EPA? Like 8 years ago, were you not as focused on fossil fuels as you are now? Or you know, like, and where is that now? Like, are you guys, is that probably the most important thing that you're looking into, or that you're trying to control, or emissions and the, you know?
Yeah. So that's a great question.
Thank you. I thought it was.
It just came to me.
The kind of arc of what we do at EPA, some of it is just we have laws that tell us what to do. The Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act. Congress says EPA, and lead, how we deal with lead is driven by statute. And so, you know, we've got to do that. We've got to do the permits to make sure your air is clean, your water is clean, all of that stuff, right? But then with every administration, there are going to be higher priorities. Congress will come in and work with the administration to do something that's a priority. And definitely, in addition to all of that other stuff that I just mentioned, we're really focusing on emissions that contribute to climate change and that contribute to local air pollution that has these cumulative impacts on these communities, on these disadvantaged communities. That's cool. And those are two real focused areas. Climate change, and by the way, how that's connected with economic development, workforce development, moving into the clean energy, into the clean energy future in a way that provides jobs. I mean, you could think of all the jobs that are going to already in Maine, in all of New England, of people who do energy audits of homes, who come in to put in, ductless mini splits, who put up solar, who do all of these things. I mean, that's huge jobs. And those are jobs you can't export, right? Those are jobs that have to be
here. They have to be here, yeah.
Exactly. So we're really focused on that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we're really focused on these communities that have been disadvantaged over time, who have, you know, at the end of the day, we should be protecting everybody equally. And regardless of your zip code, regardless of how much money you've got in your pocket or your bank account, you know, we should be protecting your air and your water, and we're figuring out how to better do that in this administration.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us. And yeah.
Yeah. Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Yep.
All right. And now we're moving on to Jordan. Jordan, what do you do at the EPA?
Thanks, Chase. So I'm what they call an inspector. I'm the one that goes out to sites. We look for different potential deficiencies with different regulations. My expertise is in lead-based paint and asbestos enforcement.
That's a broad area to cover.
Yeah, that's a lot of area.
Yeah, and we cover all of New England, 6 New England states.
Wow.
Okay, so what is the, it's RRP.
Yes.
Okay.
So RRP is the most recent, EPA's most recent lead-based paint rule. It went fully into effect in 2010, and it stands for the Renovation, Repair, and Paint Rule. And so in a nutshell, RRP is a federal law that regulates jobs that involve disturbing painted surfaces in pre-1978 residential buildings.
Pre-1978 homes, lead paint, there's a chance that lead paint was used. Is that when lead paint was stopped being made?
Absolutely. So the regulations run under the assumption that homes built before 1978 contain lead-based paint.
Yep.
And so in 1978, I believe it was the Department of Consumer Protection banned lead-based paint for residential use.
So no paint was sold with lead in it after that 1978?
Not for residential use. It was completely banned.
Cool.
Lead-based paint actually was a mixture. So people used to actually have the base paint material, and they would add white lead or powdered lead into the paint, and that made the paint more durable. Oh,
so they would add the lead to the paint.
Yep.
Like you'd add titanium oxide or something. Lead was just a pigment or an additive to make it more durable.
Absolutely. It made it more durable and made it dry faster.
Was this an oil base that they would do that to, or latex?
I mean, well, today we use mainly latex, but back then it was more of an oil-based.
So it just was to harden the paint, basically, like make it more durable. It was
and tougher, dry faster.
Dry faster,
yep. Which that's...
Tougher, longer lasting.
Interesting.
Yep.
So the law went into effect, the RRP 2010, and who does the law apply to?
So the RRP rule applies to a really broad range of facilities, or what we call facilities. Typically contractors, but also property managers, and essentially anyone who disturbs painted surfaces in pre-1978 residentials for compensation.
Gotcha. And are there ways to, I guess, yeah. So as a contractor, you need to get certified.
Absolutely. Should we run through the...
Yeah, please. Let's
do it.
Okay, so RRP regulates pretty much any contractor who disturbs painted surfaces in pre-1978 residentials. It's a federal rule, all 50 states. Some states can choose to adopt the rule. In some cases, they'll make it more stringent. So, for example, in Massachusetts, they have adopted the rule, and there's a slight discrepancy, but essentially it's RRP in a nutshell. RRP kicks in when you disturb 6 square feet of painted surfaces on the interior or 20 square feet on the exterior. And there's 5 major components to this rule. The big one is, well, we'll start with certifications. There is a firm certification. And so the business itself has to get certified. Even if you're a guy with a truck operator, you're a sole proprietor, that business also needs to be certified. And so that is just a paperwork thing. You can go on EPA's website. It's epa.gov/lead. And you can actually apply for your firm certification right there. It's $300 and it's good for 5 years. So once you have your business certified, your firm needs to employ at least one certified renovator. One certified renovator who's trained in RRP.
It's a class, or is it a class?
Yep, right? It's an 8-hour class. It is done through an EPA-accredited training provider. So EPA, you know, we audit these training providers to, you know, teach the class properly.
It's an overnight class, it sounds like. You'd need a hotel room or something. But that's fine.
You'll nope, continue. You don't.
Yep. Yeah, someplace nice.
It's just an 8-hour class. That can run you anywhere from $150 to $250. The certification is good for 5 years, and after 5 years, you need a 4-hour refresher. So let's say you want to start a painting company. First thing you need to do if you're going to be working on pre-78 residentials is get your firm certification and then go out and take the class. So those are two major
And it's not just for painters or, I mean, any company that's disturbing, whether it's a siding company,
right?
Whether it's a gutter company, you know, I mean.
Absolutely. So if you're going to be, so all the trades essentially will run into RRP at one point or another.
Right.
RRP automatically applies to window replacement, any window replacement, regardless of, you know, the amount of painted surfaces disturbed.
Right.
So one window is enough for this rule to kick in. But if you're a plumber and you're tearing open a wall, at least if it's not an emergency, if you're an electrician, you're sneaking wires, you know, you're cutting holes into the ceiling, in a pre-78 disturbing paint. Pretty much all the trades should have this or have at least one person on staff that knows about this rule or isn't trained.
Yep.
So you'll have, you know, your firm certification, you'll have your individual certification, the 8-hour course. And then there is an information distribution requirement, similar to what we talked about earlier.
Okay, yeah.
So before you start an RRP job, you're required to give, where's the camera? You're required to give the owner or occupant the Renovate Right pamphlet. And this lets them know about the potential dangers of lead, lets them know that your house is pre-78. It's likely or possible that the home contains lead and the contractor is going to be following these specific steps. And then you'll have the, you know, you have the homeowner or occupant sign it saying they got it, and you'll have that. So firm certification, renovator certification, information distribution requirement, and then you have the work practice standards, which is the big one by far. Most of the tips and complaints that come into EPA are generated by work practice standard issues. Hey, a contractor came in, you know, they're scraping the exterior of my home. They're sanding the exterior.
Right.
It looks like it's snowing out there.
Uh-oh.
So the work practice standards, and they teach you all in this in the course, but they all revolve around preventing the spread of lead dust and debris outside the work area. Keeping unauthorized individuals out of the work area, and then cleaning the work area to specific standards.
So in an outdoor environment like that, does it involve some kind of like vacuum system or what? Like, how do you, they go over all that, I would imagine, in the class, but like,
they do that in
the
class. Is
it equipment that you have to buy or is it?
Yes. So for the big one for exterior renovations is you have to put down plastic 10 feet beyond the base of the work area. If you're replacing a window, or you're doing some siding, put down plastic, affix it to the base of the work area, 10 feet beyond. And you wanna, you know, do the best you can given the conditions. If it's a little windy, you wanna affix the base of that plastic down. But yeah, you really want to, you put out the plastic, you put out the caution tape, keep unauthorized people in that from accessing that work area.
Now, are there certain areas of the homes that would have a higher concentration of lead paint?
So the regulation runs under the assumption that the contractor doing RRP, they need to test, or they don't need to test. They can either assume that the pre-78 has lead throughout the property, or they can test using like a lead test kit similar to this one.
Yep.
But maybe we should go back to the...
Okay, sure.
So the five major components, the firm certification, renovator cert, the pamphlet requirements, the work practice standards. And then the last one is there's a record keeping requirement. So EPA, we have this small entity compliance guide. This is also on our website, epa.gov/lead, or you can, you know, do a web search for this. But there is a sample checklist here on page 27. And so when the RRP contractor is done with the job, they are required to keep a checklist that basically goes through all the cleaning requirements, and they're supposed to maintain this for 3 years.
Just to make sure it's all removed, anything that was scraped.
I've got a few other questions, but that's the five?
Top five.
Okay. Now, is there any sort of record that goes to the homeowner? So say they go in so that they have a record so that the next contractor or somebody comes in.
Like a clean bill of health or something.
Right.
There's not so much a clean bill of health, but the RRP contractor can provide a sample, can provide this checklist to the homeowner.
Okay. And so this is just, the RRP rule applies to contractors, subcontractors working on a place. The homeowner, the DIYer, do they have to comply with these rules?
Yeah. Yep. So this federal rule applies to entities receiving compensation. So the average DIY homeowner, if you're doing work on your own single family property, this federal rule does not apply to you. But EPA, generally we recommend you want to be, you know, you want to work with lead safe work practices. At the minimum, you should be testing any impacted surfaces. So, you know, a lot of DIY.
Well, I guess that, yeah. Are there ways for the homeowner, the DIYer, to find out about lead safe practices without having to take the course?
There are some. EPA does have a pamphlet on a guide to doing DIY projects correctly.
Yep.
That's also on our website. Okay. The same all place right. you'd find all
perfect.
This stuff.
Perfect.
We recommend that you test.
Sure.
And that involves like cutting through all the impacted surfaces using the lead test kit. This is kind of like using a glow stick. You break it, shake it up,
right,
and you test the impacted surfaces.
It glows if it's...
I wish. Well,
pink.
Pink?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So we have a guy named Doug the Plumber, and he can taste lead. So I'm just kidding. He doesn't... That's the right... But Doug, sometimes I think he might have eaten some paint chips as a child. That's all I was saying.
We have... Oh, sorry.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, I think we have a few fan questions if we didn't ask them all.
Well, you just already asked.
I know one. I asked her.
Sorry, Jennifer.
But Maggie will ask you a couple of fan questions.
I do have a fan question. It's from George Garner. How do we know if we have lead paint in our house or not?
That's a good question. There's unfortunately no way to know if your house has lead paint or not without testing. You can do some of it yourself. You can also hire a lead assessor or a risk assessor, and they can come out to your home. Depends on the cost, you know, depends on the area for the cost, but you can have someone come out who's trained to use an XRF device to measure how much lead and where it is in the property.
So a good place to start would be these do-it-yourself 3M lead checks. You know, if you start testing and you test lead in a few spots, if you wanted to get a little deeper, you could hire somebody to come in to do a more thorough investigation.
Yeah.
And they could kind of give you a report of where and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Typically, we recommend, you know, renovations be left to the professionals. But, you know, EPA doesn't regulate work done in a single family property.
Right.
You know, by yeah. yourself.
Yeah.
I have a question that's somewhat off topic, but I mean, lead, the effect lead has on children is documented, but I mean, it does affect adults also, right?
Yes.
And so I'm just like a lot of people, I'm into this true crime genre. And there's a theory out there that back in the day when, like from late 60s to mid 70s, there was a rise in violence and in like serial killers and that whole thing. And that was because lead was everywhere. And I mean, what do you think about that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
that's a really good question.
Thank you.
He's just being polite, Jake.
No, he's not.
No, it's valid. And this is all my opinion.
Right? Okay, yeah, that's what I want.
There are some historians that attribute the fall of Rome
nice.
To lead poisoning.
Yeah.
And that's because they would drink wine out of lead vessels. They would use leaden pipes to carry water in their aqueducts into the cities. And so pretty much everyone in that society mildly had some level of lead or in extreme cases, but we did use lead in gasoline.
So it was in the air, right?
It was in the air.
It was very prevalent.
And there are a few studies that attribute a lowering in the gross domestic product of the United States and attribute that to, decreased IQ, behavioral issues caused by lead exposure. Lead, the element itself, is happy to take the place of a variety of other critically important elements in the body.
That's so how it works. So.
Think zinc, magnesium, calcium. You need those for essential functions in your body.
Yeah.
And lead is happy to take the place of those. So it's
nasty.
Cause an absolute variety of issues.
Yeah. Interesting. And so people can find out more information on EPA's website.
EPA's website, epa.gov/lead.
Cool.
Is there anything else you want to cover real quick?
Did we want to talk about what you were saying earlier with the 3 family?
Oh, just...
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, we could. I guess, you know, being a... You're asking like when I was a landlord, we gave out a similar pamphlet. This was a long time, 10 years ago. So it was black and white. Yeah. And it was, you know, and they didn't really pay much attention to it. But I know that in there was two original, you know, units, and then there was a mother-in-law apartment. And it was right in near Roslindale. So you know how they have all those triple deckers?
Oh, yeah.
That was all brand new construction, but a lot of the windows had been replaced, but there was some original trim. But I was always under the assumption that if it was stained and it was poly, that there wasn't lead, but I don't think that was correct, was it?
So what you're talking about is called the Residential Lead Hazard Reduction Act.
Okay.
That went into effect in 1992. And so there's two major pieces to that rule. EPA enforces that rule in all 50 states. That rule requires prospective tenants or purchasers of pre-1978 residentials to receive an informational pamphlet called Protect Your Family from Lead in Your Home, as well as receive a disclosure form.
Right.
That says this home was built before 1978. It may contain lead.
We don't know, but it might. Right.
But you have to at least give tenants information before they're obligated into that contract, into that lease.
Hmm.
So that's also commonly referred to as the disclosure rule.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's what we did that. And we had several tenants coming and going. But the other thing we had was asbestos siding.
Okay.
And
well, that's a whole nother conversation.
We don't even need to get into it. I don't think that's as easy to get a license to work on, is it? It's a little bit more expensive and
time-consuming.
Yep. And,
yeah. Well, Jordan, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been great.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we'll be right back.
Thanks, Jordan.
All right. So, Jake, this segment is called Phone a Fan.
Oh, this is exciting.
We've got some fans who have given their name and number. Cool. And yeah, so we're just going to randomly cold call. And we are starting with Barbara Embick. We are starting with Barbara Embick.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Can we leave a message?
Of course. Oh, no. That's all right. Sorry, Barbara. We are going to try Scott and Nancy Olson.
Nice. Look like they're from Maine.
Yeah, they're locals, huh? We've got 803.
They might be eating dinner.
Yeah. Oh.
Hello.
Bonjour. Hello.
Hi. Is this Scott Olson?
Yes.
Scott, this is Chase Morrill with Maine Cabin Masters calling.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
How are you?
I'm doing great. We were just looking at your review. In fact, you know, this is hilarious. I'm wearing a Maine Cabin Masters shirt right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we
love advertising.
Yeah, we're doing our podcast. I'm joined with Jake, our painter, and my daughter Maggie.
Hi, Scott.
Hi,
how are you?
Great.
Ryan is unfortunately on vacation right now, but we figured we'd give you a call and see how everything's going. Are you in Maine?
Yes, I live in South Portland.
Ooh, nice. Very so nice.
Fun. Yeah. And my wife and I live there, and my boys are living out in Colorado.
Good place to be.
Yeah.
If it's not Maine.
Right.
No, definitely not. It's
the Maine of the West.
Thing is, when I showed a picture of our wisteria flowers, and I said, "Hey, Isaac, look at these flowers. They actually showed up." And then, you know, I never had them on there. And he looked at the picture and he goes, "Gee, Dad, it's really green out there."
It is.
I had to laugh. I said, "Yep, sounds like someone from living out in the Colorado area."
Been in Maine your whole life or recently? Or
nope, I'm actually from Montreal, Canada.
Oh, hence the bonjour.
Yes, that's right.
Bonjour. Oh, tu parles très bien, français, c'est bien.
Un peu.
Juste un peu, vous savez bien.
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah. Does that make you?
I'm one of those crazy French guys that loves carpentry and all of that stuff.
Yeah, we know them well, yes.
Absolutely. And I always have this thought that I'd like to stand there or go out to one of your sites and tell Jedi, hey, do you have a clue? And you look at me. And you know that the word clue in French means nail.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you want, you can use that on him.
If I use it on the show, you'll know.
Yeah, that's a laugh. Hey, guess what, Nancy?
Perfect, so perfect. Funny. Yeah, how's the weather down in Portland? Breezy?
It is pretty nice down here.
Excellent.
It is rather cold today, though.
Yes, it was up here as well. It's going to warm up, though, I believe, and then rain on Saturday. But
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you a Montreal Canadiens?
No.
I'm sorry. I had a question for you.
Perfect.
I saw on a couple of your shows. One of them was actually Jenna Mills' sister. You did her camp, and she actually had a pump organ. And I saw that you altered it a bit and made a bookshelf out of it.
Yeah.
Now I also noticed that you had another one sitting up in your barn there, or your workshop.
Yeah.
And this is my perspective, is that if you're ever interested in having anything restored like that, I would be very happy to help you on that.
Really?
Oh yeah. And I'm talking about restoring them back to original.
Wow. No kidding.
It's cool.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Like I said, I'm a crazy Frenchman.
Now, do you play them as well?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I do play.
Now, and, any specific style or type that you work on, or any across the board?
No, whichever one I can find, pretty much.
Because I may have one or two more up in my attic. Or my barn, the attic of my barn.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, you know, they're beautifully crafted. And it's such gorgeous. A shame to, you know, throw them away or burn them or anything like that, because that's what happens to most of them. But that's good to know. I'm glad we called you.
Is it like a Hammond organ? Oh, yeah. Like an instrument?
Like I said, I'm crazy. My wife calls herself the widow, the organ widow. And I said, well, honey, it isn't that bad. I'm down in the cellar, so at least you know where I'm at.
At least she can hear you.
Yeah, it's fun to have tasks and areas to go do them, you know, get a breather.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you made it up to our headquarters in Manchester?
Oh, multiple times.
Fantastic, fantastic.
We absolutely love it, and we have brought people over as well.
Super.
And it's just a lot of fun.
Well, great, yeah, great,
it's
great.
The best in the summer, too. And summer's coming, and it's really,
yeah,
it's
good
so
weather
enjoyable.
Will be here, live music, good food. Well, Scott, thank you very much for picking up the phone and talking with us today.
Well, that's awesome, and thank you for calling. And like I said, I actually sent the pictures, just to make it real quick, I sent pictures of the of some of the restoration I did on some of the of the pump organ. So if you want, give me a buzz. I could even give you my cell number.
Okay. Yeah, we've got your number.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah. What am I saying? Don't we?
Well, Scott, if we come across a camp or something where somebody, you know, plays the organ or the piano, we'll definitely keep you in mind.
Sounds awesome. Will you take care, gentlemen and lady?
Say hi to Nancy for us.
All right, I will do that.
All right, enjoy the spring.
Thank you. Take care, Mike.
Bye, Scott. All right, that was good, right?
Yeah, that was very fruitful.
Yeah, I bet he's a Canadiens fan. But I'm glad he didn't answer, because those guys are tough. That's a tough fan base.
Noted.
Yeah. Did you talk with Fishman a lot when you guys did his camp?
Yeah.
Or did Ryan handle a lot? No, you...
I mean, Ryan was very, very protective. And I think at one point, Ashley and I went over to his house to pick up a piece of the burl for that custom table.
Okay.
And it was in his studio, his recording studio.
Oh, cool.
And so he, you know, brought us in, showed us around, showed us his drum set, all this stuff. And I just remember how jealous Ryan was.
Oh, man, I bet. But he was...
Because Ashley and I were like, yeah, where's a piece of wood? You know, it all just went right over our heads. But
right.
I mean, he saw it later, though.
No, I know. But he was talking about some piece of equipment that Frank Zappa had owned or something like that.
It wasn't the vacuum cleaner, was it?
It wasn't the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
No.
Ryan has two of those I think he wants to give to John.
If he hasn't already given him at least one. Mm-hmm. That by far.
Do you know that the guitar player for Widespread, Jimmy Herring, is a huge fan of the show?
I did not know that.
No, he's that. And you know that Ryan has actually had more luck contacting. He met the manager for Panic when they went out to Colorado last year, and they hit it off.
Yeah.
Ash and Ryan hung out with the manager and his wife, Lopez. And, you know, they have more connections now with Widespread. And your sister technically likes them better. But whatever.
You heard it here first.
No, that's not recorded. None of this is going to show.
All right. Well, now we are on to some fan questions for Jake and Chase.
Mm-hmm. So true. Okay. This is from Becky DeMay. I've noticed that on the Cabin Master's equipment, it's stamped MEM. But otherwise, you go by MCM. What is the difference?
It's a great question.
That is some eagle eyes right there.
Yes. It's confused me in the past.
Yes. So Ryan's original business was Main Energy Management, right. MEM. My business was KPS, Kennebec Property Services. And we kind of joined forces and now
successfully, yes.
It's MCM, you know, Main Cab Masters. The construction side is still Kennebec Property Services. But I think it was easy for Ryan to take the MEM stencil and make it MCM.
So you do not see as many of the MEM tools anymore. I mean, they're older and, you know, but when I started working, yeah, I didn't understand what it was, but.
And I would just spray paint my stuff purple.
I've noticed that. And or pink. Pink too.
I didn't get fancy with a stencil. I just spray painted it. The pink really works.
I'd say it does. Yeah. Everybody knows it's yours. Yeah.
And it's funny. There's like one or two fiberglass ladders still around that has the MEM on it.
Yes.
And it's like.
They're not long for this world.
No. It's true. Like we both kind of, you know, we joined forces. We kind of joined all our tools together. And yeah, there's a few still around.
That's a great. And that is a great question. And she pays attention.
Yeah,
to the show,
for sure.
Thank you, Becky.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
All right. Nice job, Becky.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
All righty. Next question is Gregory Pellegrini. What is the best way to insulate a camp for a post and pier camp with access underneath, which is open to the elements? Surf is bottom of 2x6s with cross bucks, remote island location.
Hmm. Let me reread that one.
Why?
Because what's the best way to insulate a clamp? What's the best way to insulate a camp floor for a camp that's on posts and piers? There's access underneath, but it's open to the elements.
We just did this.
The floor system is 2x6 with cross bucks, which means you're cross bracing.
Yes, they're going to interfere with.
See, the thing is, when you read it, you actually know what they're talking about, yeah, and I just read the words.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you still read it better than he did.
I mean, yeah.
So we just did this, didn't we? I mean, wouldn't you say that at the Cleary camp that we did something similar to this?
Yes.
And
even the Secord camp way up on Round Mount.
Yeah.
We run across it all the time. If you have access to it, I think rigid insulation or spray
foam, I think.
Rigid insulation, if it's nice, straight, yeah, and you have easy access.
It's a run.
You can rip them down, put them in there, and put cleats to hold it in place.
And it will stay there.
It will stay there. I recommend putting it tight up against the floor so that you don't have an airspace for creatures to live in. You know, some people put it down and then leave that airspace.
Why do they leave the airspace? I mean,
I think for just an added layer of insulation.
You figure that it's not going to get cold air in there, so you might as well move it down.
Yeah.
But I think it's important, and a lot of camps don't have that insulation on their floor.
And it's noticeable.
And what I like about the spray is that it is rock solid.
It is. Well, and that, yes, if the floor system it's all cut up and everything's not exactly on layout.
Right.
I think your best bet would be spray foam.
Yeah.
Because it will seal the gaps. It, you know, if you have 3 inches, one
what
bay.
What size board would you go with, though, for insulation underneath? Like a 2-inch or?
Minimum 2-inch.
Okay.
And I think it's more what the budget allows.
Right.
You know?
It's not cheap.
The more insulation, the better. But,
right.
You know, if you get a good 2 inches,
yeah,
you're good. And also skirting.
Yeah.
If you really are trying to keep your, you know, some sort of solid skirting that keeps the breeze from going underneath the camp, that helps as well.
Yeah. And we generally take care of that as well.
Yeah. And we've done some camps where we just skirted and insulated that, and that kept a whole warm core underneath. But again, it depends on the circumstance.
Jay Thornton wears a skirt often.
A little shout out to Canadian Jay.
Canadian Jay. Jay the leprechaun.
Is that it for fan questions?
That's all we have time for today.
All right. We are on to trivia.
Wow.
So true. Okay.
So last week, Maggie always asks a question.
Cool.
Last week's question, I never remember it.
Who answers? There's no buzzer.
The fans email in.
Oh, cool.
But this one's from last week, so you guys can answer. I'll tell you the answer.
Cool.
If you are a proud person, you go with your head up and your tail where? Is that right? Yeah.
But good. You go.
I think it's tail wagging.
Between your legs.
Neither. No. Over the dashboard.
What? We were driving? I didn't know we were in a car.
What?
It's
a great question.
Wait, so what's the saying? If you're a proud person,
you go with your head up and your tail over the dashboard.
I've heard it a million times. It's a great saying. What?
Did you look it up?
No. No, I just go off what the cards say.
If you're a proud... Wait, what's the saying?
Your head up and your tail over the dashboard.
That's living, baby. That's
so if you're proud, if you're proud, you're.
I'm like, yeah.
Head up, tail over the dashboard.
So this animal's driving a vehicle.
I like it. Oddly.
How many of these do we do? This is cool.
Now we get a second one that we don't get to.
You can guess.
Maggie does not pick easy questions.
That's correct.
Like that's the fact of it.
This week's question is, who did Cassius Clay defeat to win the heavyweight championship of the world in Lewiston in 1965?
We don't answer it.
Okay, we don't answer it.
But if the listeners out there, if they think they know the answer, send it in to podcast@maincabinmasters.com. And if they're the first correct answer, they win a sweet prize.
Yes. What is the prize?
A mug, could be a shirt. It all depends on the week. It's not a trip to Chicago.
It's a night out with Jenna to go see the Bruins.
No clue.
Sweet, though. It's a sweet present.
Jake, we're wrapped.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Yeah. But if you listeners out there, if you think you're our biggest fan, tell us why. Send us your number or email. And who knows, maybe we'll call you up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we just talked with our...
Exactly. Or if you have fan questions for Chase, Ryan, and now Jake, send us your general questions or project pointers. Keep the project pointers. If you got questions about your camps, podcast@maincabinmasters.com. Jake, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We always want to thank our sponsors, Hammond Lumber Company, NELMA, Hero Media Network, Kennebec Savings Bank, and From the Woodshed. We'll be talking to you.
From the Woodshed has been brought to you by NELMA. See the stamp, trust the quality. Hammond Lumber, your building project partner. Kennebec Savings Bank, helping our local community save, thrive, and grow for over 150 years.